This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. So we're back, mashallah, part two. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept salat al-dhuhr from all of us. Allahumma ameen. So just as I was saying, we've kind of finished with the overview of the technical stuff that I think you should know about Hajj, right? Just the very basic elements, five fingers, Mina, go, eat, drink, sleep, rest. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah is the day of Arafah. MashaAllah, look at you guys, Hajj professionals. What do you do in the middle? Muzdalifah. And when you say sleep, I want you to sleep. What do you do after you pray Salat al-Fajr? Dua, standing up, make dua. The tallest, longest day of Hajj, you're going to throw seven stones in Jamarat. You're going to have your hadya done for you. You're not going to wait and say, oh, I need a phone call or something. If you want, that's up to you. I won't be able to call anyone. There are 3 million sheep happening within 3 days, right? You're going to then shave your head, remove your towels, remove your ihram, have a shower, put on perfume. It's a day of Eid. This is the day your family here will pray Eid. We no longer, after we throw the jamrah, you will no longer say labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Now it's takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, khalas. It's the day of Eid. You're going to spend, you're going to then go, some of us will make tawaf, we'll make our sa'i and come back where? At night? Mina. Come back to Mina. Spend most of the night, if not all the night. Some people in Mu'aysam, some people in Majr al-Kahf, I want to spend the night. It's comfortable. No problem. And you're going to spend the 11th and 12th in Mina, inshallah. 5 days of Hajj. Khalas? Easy? Every time you look at your hand, it'll tell you Hajj, Hajj. Inshallah. May Allah bless it, Ya Rab. Good. Now let's get busy with technical stuff. I'm just going to switch cameras to Brother Eden. You're with us now, Eden. You're live, inshallah. All right. So what do I bring to Hajj after, you know, 10 years of Hajj? What are the essentials? So let's begin with the brothers first, right? We're going to talk about ihrams. And when we talk about ihram, there's a difference between this and this. You will notice both of my ihrams are only cotton. When you go to buy ihrams in Medina, one of the first things you want to read is whether it's polyester or cotton. MashaAllah, is this my Malaysia one? Fin Malaysia. Aywa, yalla. Malaysia. My second home, MashaAllah, right? Malaysians love when I say that. You could see, MashaAllah, this is for those who are horizontally challenged like myself. Horizontally, you get the joke, no? MashaAllah. This will be too big for some of you guys, right? This is the Sheikh Yahya special. I don't know why they sell these big, big ones in Malaysia, right? So this ihram, it's gram weight. Its fabric is heavy. Fabric that's heavy is good in the sense that even when it gets wet, it doesn't show the skin. It's good in the sense that when it gets wet, it's still relatively resilient, but it's hot. It's quite hot. So for the bottoms, I wear a heavier cotton. All right, I'll show you how to tie it and I'll bring you up to do it. At the top, I have a very light. The brother who's right under us is where I got these from, actually, right? Very light cotton fabric. It's a little bit smaller, and it's a little bit lighter. You could see, you can see a little bit of the skin under it. I wouldn't feel comfortable with it at the bottom. But I feel comfortable with it at the top, right? Don't feel shy to mix and match. You will receive, if you are traveling with us with Al-Burj, you will receive, or with Dar es Salaam, or most of your providers, we will give you, if you are Medina first, you will get an ihram from us in Medina. For those who are traveling with Dar es Salaam, we are shipping you one through Dar es Salaam bookstore, not affiliated. Dar es Salaam bookstore, you'll receive a shipment of ihrams. They will likely be somewhere in the middle between these two, right? The likely in the middle between these two are the general kind of ihrams. It's not too bad. It's a standard run of the mill. Not see-through. I wore this in my most recent Umrah. Washed it when I came back when I was with my father 2.5 weeks ago, right? Nice length. Not too bad. This is likely what you would get. In Saudi Arabia, this sells during Hajj season for anywhere between 90 to 110 riyal. Okay? So if you convert that, that's about $55. So if you are thinking, oh, it's going to be cheaper over there, not necessarily. All right? I urge all of the brothers to have at least 2 ihrams. So I always travel with 2 bottoms and 2 tops. What I mean is like mixed and match. So I want to have one because you get on a bus and you drop coffee, you sit on the sidewalk, you are wet, so it becomes smudged and it looks brown and it just doesn't look good. And if you're in Mina, Sheikh Yahya, do they have a washing machine? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Brother, can I buy one in Mina? Ah, wallahi, akhi, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Right? So what I always do, I have 1 ihram that I'm wearing, and at least half you have to bring, at least another half. Usually, I will encourage people to bring 1 full ihram with them, right? That you break up. 2 bottoms, 2 tops, right? Think of it that way. Do take a look, see if they have. I don't know if the brothers are selling actually ihram downstairs. Did you notice if they have ihrams downstairs? Yeah. Take a look, see the fabric, read. Is it cotton? Is it a cotton blend? Cotton blend is not too bad as well for the bottom. Like if it's mostly cotton and a little bit of polyester, it means it won't be a see-through. It's okay. For the sisters, you do not want to wear a abaya that is a shimmery polyester abaya, or a scarf that is heavily polyestery, because with the sun, it actually will scorch you. So if you ever see people and they come back and say, in Hajj, I had all these chafe, and it's not because of just them walking, it's because what they were wearing heats them up, and the friction of it is merciless against the skin. You want natural fabrics. Get yourself scarves that, mashallah, are breathable. They may not sit the best. They may not be easiest ironing and things like that, but it will be something that will suit you well, inshallah. You want to be able to layer the clothing that you wear. So for sisters, I will always say you want to have pants that are really comfortable beneath. You want to carry for every day at least 2 or 3 undergarments. So for Mina, 2 or 3 undergarments with you. On a normal day, it is a warm day. You're going in and out of bathrooms. It's not the easiest situation for most people. You want to overstock on the underclothing, not on the overclothing. Have 3 or 4 different pants for the 2 or 3 days of Mina. 3 or 4, maybe even 5 underpants, under little light shirts that you wear under your clothing, inshallah. This is what I just bought this actually yesterday. Jim Kidd, DFO. I'm not getting any commission. $19. Can't go wrong. Right? White. But this one is a breathable. It's meant to be for like golfing and things like that. So it's a quick dry. It's called dry fit. So you see how it says dry fit? It means it takes the water off your skin and then cools it out quickly. It's a good thing to invest. Second, cotton, linen, dress shirts. It looks dressy, but it's breathable. It's quick dry. It's easy for you to wear. And it's not as hot when you are out in the sun, inshallah. Athletic pants. I like to wear very light. These, I think, are, I don't know if these are Kmart or Jim Kidd again, probably. No, these are Adidas. You want something that is breathable, vents at the knees, vents at the back, something that you can tighten, as you can see. I don't know if you can see. It's like holes there. Can you see the... So it allows your precipitation. You know what I mean. All right? It allows you to get rid of the excess heat. Okay? We're going to be giving you... A lot of people ask, what is the shoe bag that we get? So with Dar es Salaam, these are the normal ones you get. It's very high quality, high grade, thick ropes. You'll say, what is this, Sheikh Yahya? This will change your life. All right? This is your shower, bathroom protection. So when you are in the shower, don't assume that everybody has a knob on the showers in the bathrooms in Mina. So what you do is you hang up your ihram, anything, bags, anything you have. You're always, you take up your ihram, you want to go to the bathroom. It's a small cubicle, it's wet. The same place that you are, the bathroom area inside Mina, in Mina, in Arafah, in Muzdalifah, is the bathroom facility as well as a shower over it. So there's a lot of wetness, right? What do you do with the 10 riyal? You forgot already. First thing you do, change 10 riyal, 10 riyal, 10 riyal, 10 riyal. You need to have like 200, 10 riyal. Everybody knows, 10 riyal, that's the guy. They'll line up, oh, Sheikh Yahya, go to the bath. Ta'ala, ta'ala. You'll get like a whole six of them. I will get it ready for you, right? Always carry your own toilet paper. Never leave the hotel for Mina or Arafah without your own toilet paper. You bring it from there. Buy it if you like. Always bring your own soap and things. Nothing is left there, right? There's nothing left there. So make sure, inshallah, the quick hook system. The other one, I didn't get the right size, sorry. This is an S hook. So an S hook, it allows you just to hook on any door and make your own hook. You know, you just put your ihram on it and hook it. That way you're, you know, it doesn't drop in the bathroom. The horror stories that people have in Hajj is, Sheikh, I went to the bathroom and my ihram fell on the ground. And then they come out, they wash it, and they come out fully wet. And then they, you know, it's hot outside, so they're waiting outside to dry. It's just, yani. So, S hook. Get a bigger one. You can get these in Bunnings where they hang up the plants. You know, the plant plant hangers and things like that. S-hook will save your life. Get five or six of them because you will put it on the door and you'll be like, mashallah, I feel like a king, and you will forget it. And then you will make dua against whoever took it. Inshallah. Inshallah for good. You say, may Allah bless him that he brings it back. Right? Because people will see it and be like, this man is a genius. And you will say, yes, Sheikh Yahya is. Inshallah. All right. So the S hook becomes really important. You can use it with things that you can't attach, and you can add whatever you want to it, inshallah. So you will get a bag like this. The other reason that I usually have this attached to, I have one on all of my bags, is because it allows you to secure yourself. And it allows you to keep the bag up top, so you limit your back pain. So once you're here, then you kind of hook it here. It's high up. Most people, you will see them, the bag kind of hangs where? All the way down there. And then they're like, Sheikh, I have back pain. I say, I know, I can see why. I know why you have back pain, all right? So these, you can get a pack of these in Kmart for $2. Get a few of them, inshallah. You will get from us, for those who are, you know, with Dar es Salaam or with us and with others, you will get a little pouch. It'll have your dua in it. Sorry, let me get it. So it'll have a little fold-out dua for Hajj and Umrah. That'll always be in your pack. You'll get that. It'll, once you arrive in Medina, we'll give you all of these, inshallah. It'll go with your Al Burj branded piece. This becomes very important because it'll have your identity card, hotels, facilities, breakfast locations, everything that you need in case you get lost. People know where to find you. So this is my guide one from last year. And whenever we do those tours, so whether it's for Aqsa, may Allah return us, Allahumma Ameen, and free our brothers and sisters there. Wherever you are, this is something you're always wearing, right? It'll be wherever you go. It becomes a part and parcel of your trip. It's also very good because you can have your mobile phone there. Never have your passport in it. Passports, if the authorities have not taken them from you upon arrival in Medina, they're always locked away in the safe, inshallah, for those of you who stay for the long term in there. All right, so you'll get one of these, inshallah. This is the backpack that I kind of use as well. So although you will get one of these from us, if you want something that's a little bit more functional for yourself, just say, I want an inner pocket. I want to put my purse, I want to put my bag, but I also want something that I can, you know, strap and wear my bag. It's fine. They have these in Oraton in the DFO. You can grab them from there, inshallah. I think about $35 as well. It's not a considerable expense, right? It also gives you the added function that you can carry it in your hand, not just on your back, inshallah. And it's got room for shoes and other things in it. Documents. Now, I won't let you take pictures of my documents, but all right, you can't take of that yet. So documents. What must you bring? Letter from your doctor stipulating your immunization. Signed, stamped. If it's not from a doctor or a chemist, has to have a stamp or a sign. If you couldn't get that, Medicare statements, right? You want it, don't be like me and do the wrong thing where it's black and white. Right? Get a colored version. Sometimes you get that one little brother who, what is this? Where did you photo? Okay. Sometimes when they see color, it just, oh, it looks more official. Okay. Sometimes there are just people like you meet like that. Do the colored one. All right. It costs a little bit more. Print off a colored printer if you can. For those of you who are not Australian citizens, anybody not Australian citizen? All right, for those who are not Australian citizen, if you are a permanent resident, you will not be allowed to board the flight out unless you can show them something called a Vivo right of return visa. Now, I know every other country in the world, it has it already on your passport, except in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia uses a very specific system, and they will want to see either a PDF on your phone or a printed. Carry the printed copy, all right? That was an issue for some of those who traveled with me in Umrah recently, and they're like, I've never had this happen. I've been a resident in Australia for 10 years. They're like, no, we need to see it. So it's a new regulation. They want to see a permanent residency or a granted residency that you have a right to return to Australia. I don't know if that's an Australian requirement or a Saudi requirement, but that becomes the third document that I want you to carry with you, inshallah. Backpack. You want to have a backpack that you can keep 2 days worth of clothing. How long will you be in ihram? Look, let's look at the days of Hajj. When did we say you take off your ihram? The early on the third day. Are you in ihram the whole of the eighth? No, just when you get to Mina, right? Remember, I told you I don't go into ihram until Arafah, like halfway through Arafah. You're going to go into ihram once you get to Mina, maybe before Salatul Maghrib. So you will spend the night in Mina in ihram, and all of the day of Arafah in Ihram, and the morning of Muzdalifah. That's the night in Muzdalifah, and the morning of the 10th day. That's it. Other than the Umrah when you first come. Like you're going to do, you've been to Umrah, many of us have been to Umrah, you know Umrah is 3, 4, 5 hours and you're out of Ihram. So most people, when they think of it, they think, I'm going to be in Hajj, I'm going to be in Ihram like the whole time. You're only in Ihram for a day and a half, maybe 2 days. If you're doing Qiran, maybe 2.5 days, right? If you're joining Hajj and Umrah together. So plan your clothing not for this in mind. When you are going to Mina, your bag, what are you going to have in it? What did I say I always ask the brothers to carry? One full ihram. That's going to take up half your bag. One full ihram. Take a spare ihram, please. Number two, what else? What else do you think you will need in Mina? On the 10th day, what are you going to do? You're going to get changed, right? And these are the clothes that you might do tawaf in. It might be the clothes you do sa'y in. You're going to change in Mina before coming to Mecca, most likely, inshallah. So what should you have? You should have at least 1 day's worth of change of clothes. Your undergarments, your overgarments, a spare hijab. Have your change of clothes and maybe an addition to it, inshallah. All right? An addition to it. So now you have one full ihram, a day and a half worth of clothing. What else are you going to need? Toiletries, mashallah. Let's get to the important stuff. All right. Now, for those of you who are on WhatsApp with me, you know that I put on some of the most important... Sorry, you're on this side? Okay. I like to use goat's milk soap. It's non-allergic. It's a simple soap, $1.70. You need sunscreen. Do not buy water-resistant sunscreen because you're going to be making wudu, right? You don't want water-resistant sunscreen. So the Cancer Council, they have this day wear face. Usually the face ones, they aren't water-resistant. Use the face one on your arms, right? So this will particularly tell you, you must apply it every 2 hours in the sun because it's not water-resistant. You don't want anything perfumed and you don't want anything water resistant. You can take a photo of that, inshallah. Antibacterial sensitive wipes. Antibacterial because you want to keep your hands clean. You want to keep your place clean. Before you eat on a table, just generally make sure that you up your cleanliness, especially when there are large crowds. After you make sujood, the place you're going to pray, always have a little prayer mat with you for your face. You don't have to have the whole sajada. I usually carry just this little prayer mat in my bag, just on the side. If I want to sit down or anything, I just open it up. It's for my face. It's for my seating, right? Right? So I know this side goes on the ground. This side I sit on. I make sujood on, even if it's in the masjid and I don't want to get the masjid dirty, I just make it half, right? Always have something to sit on and to have your hands on, inshallah. So you're going to have your wet wipes, hypoallergenic, no fragrance. It actually says gentle on skin, fragrance free. Cannot overemphasize the need for personal hygiene, antiperspirants. Don't worry about the brand name, but it is fragrance-free. There's ones that are called Nopong and, you know, all these different fragrance-free ones that are there. Start trialing them. See if they feel good on your skin. Not all of them feel good. See which one fits you well. This you can use even in Ihram. So in that day and a half, you wake up, you have a shower, put it on again. There's no problem with it. In Ihram, inshallah. Even if you're not asthmatic, carry with you a puffer, right? So I actually carry two because I've had problems at times. So there is fine dust as you're walking from Mu'aysam, as you're in the tunnels, as you're in the cars, as you're in the buses, as you're in the masjid. Sometimes there's fine dust in the air that gets kicked up as people are walking, millions of people walking in the desert. you want to have something that if you feel your chest is unwell, you will speak to our camp doctors. In every tent, we have a doctor with Dar es Salaam. In every tent of 300 people, we have one doctor. We have a trauma kit. Everything is at the go. And you'll hear some of the brothers and some of their experiences with them, inshallah. I do ask you, inshallah, to have that with you. Please do go and meet your doctor and ask him for antibiotics, because you cannot walk into a pharmacy in Saudi Arabia and buy antibiotics without a script. So I have my antibiotic. It's a high spectrum azithromycin. I know our sister Ila here, mashallah, is a pharmacist, and there's doctors amongst us. This is like for, you know, major kind of chest infections and so on. And then there's others that are for, you know, bowel, like diarrhea. Sometimes people get that, you know, it's a major thing. So there's Lopiderm. Then there's prescription ones. So speak to your doctor and say, I'm going to Hajj. My Hajj guide has said to me that people do get major chest coughs. I know that I can't go into a pharmacy without a script. Are you able to prescribe me the 3-day dose? So there's a 3-day dose. It's 3 pills. You take one the first day, one the second day, one the third day. You're good to go. I will speak to the doctor over there and see if I need it. Like, I'll consult someone before I take it, which is what I will require you to do. So I'm not going to have you self-administer, but I want you in Mina to have what you need. So if you know that you don't react well with penicillin, don't come to Mina without what you know works for you. Come with that in mind. Carry with you your essential scripts. I used to wear glasses. I don't wear glasses. I had that surgery thing, alhamdulillah. Glasses, eyeglasses are a major issue if you lose them. Always carry a backup. Even if you don't wear contact lenses, get contact lenses that you have in case of emergency. So go to your optometrist and say, I don't wear contact, but I want to trial them. I have 6 contact lenses that you just have in your bag. You'll never wear them unless you're blind in Mina in the dark. You're in Muzdalifa, your glasses fell and they fell in Allahu A'lam. I don't know how to get them. It's over. And it happens every year. Subhanallah, every year. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, contact lenses, glasses, get the contacts as a backup to your glasses and bring backup sunglasses, inshallah, eyeglasses. Sunglasses, you can buy them there, but if there's a comfortable pair that you like, you want something dark, the marble of the haram, the marble of refracting the light when you're in tawaf, off the desert, off the surroundings, is quite blinding. There's a lot of people who get really, sunspots and things like that. You want to have a good pair of sunglasses with you. Not talking expensive, but something that's Cancer Council approved, UV-400 approved, inshallah. Do not leave home without electrolytes. They do not sell electrolytes in Saudi Arabia. They sell vitamins. So you can get these in Saudi Arabia. They'll have like a magnesium and all of that. But as an electrolyte or as a rehydrate or as a hydrolyte, they don't sell that. Because they say, no, we would rather you go to a clinic. I would rather you be preemptive every day. Even if you feel well, I'm going to get you to take one in the morning. With your iftar, I make a special morning tea. If you're with me, you'll have the ginger burn. MashaAllah, the cooks over there, they know Yahya's with us. Okay, they bring a truckload of ginger and they do it. And I burn your chest with ginger every morning. MashaAllah, ginger and mint, right? But you need to hydrate. Magnesium is good for your muscle support. It's good to help you kind of at the end of a walking day. It's good for you, inshallah. Try the different flavors, right? Even before you go, because some flavors taste like chalk, or I didn't like this, or I want you to be able to enjoy that. All of the brothers must have bandaging for what will inevitably happen to parts of your foot if you're not normally used to walking with thongs and things like that. So now it's probably too late for you to buy some of the professional stuff. These are ufus, all right? Ufus, as you can see, really thick and high grade, OOFOOS, right? I don't know how quick they'll deliver them. They're only online. These are the ones that I kind of wear. I recommended some that you can find in Target. As you can see, nice, high off the ground, all one piece. This will begin to shrink, get a size up. If you put these out in the sun here and you come back a day or two later, they feel tighter, right? When you're walking on asphalt, 50 degree heat, they will begin to shrink up. And your body will begin to retain water as well, and you will begin to swell up a little bit. Always go a full size higher. Full size higher, inshallah. You will mostly be walking in these, in shoes. So remember we said, Mina, Arafa, and now I'm in Mina again. When I'm going and doing tawaf, what am I going to be wearing? These. Right? When I walk back to Mecca, these. Don't go with your thongs. If you like hiking boots, wear hiking boots. Whatever you like. These are the shoes you want to walk from Mina to Mecca with. These are the shoes you want to walk from your tent to the Jamarat with. You're only going to throw the first 7 Jamarat in your ihram. All of your other Jamarat, normal clothes. The next day and the next day. And if you stay the third day, all of them, normal clothes. Get easy on-off shoes. Easy Skechers, Adidas, whatever it is that has a nice sole, comfortable, slide in, slide out, that take the shape of your foot. Begin walking in them from now, inshallah. We will overindulge in food in Mina. Mashallah, especially with Dar es Salaam, we're known for... where's Brother Shafi? How was the food last year, Hajj? Come up forward, inshallah, Hajj. All right. So my brother, he was one of the Hujjaj with me last year, mashallah. He was sitting where you were sitting 2 weeks also before Hajj, mashallah. As-salam. So you, tell them a little bit about what to expect in Mina and things like that. Well, with me anyway. I don't know about all the others. I'll give you that so it's on the... All right.
Assalamu alaikum all, and all the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I guess we all are going to Hajj. You are blessed. We have been blessed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you. Last year, actually, I was honored and got the opportunity to do the Hajj, and I went to with Sheikh Yahya, the MCTC Darussalam, and I was living in Madar al-Qabs. Alhamdulillah. First, I want to say that regarding foods, there's abundant foods. Do not need to think about it. There are plenty of drinks, plenty of juices and cold drinks, whatever it be. But the main focus is of the Hajj. About my experiences, I remember exactly what Sheikh said in Malaysia before he go to Hajj. Said, I will be mother duck for you guys, and you are my ducklings. No. I will not let you go anywhere. You'll be always taken care of by myself. So he not only actually take care about MCDC or I would say Darussalam, he also taken care about the other hujjaj from other areas like Al Bayt. What I'm gonna say, like this shopping list. Definitely, you already have on top of it. The main thing, my experience is, actually, you get to prepare about your spiritual journey. What you need to do. That's the main item you need to think about it. What you will do. Over there, who is going with the families, my suggestion is to make a team when you go to different places. And I don't know about, because I was not with Al Bayt, but with Sheikh Yahya, he gave us a small microphone with a headphone with a devices, and he was always guiding us everywhere. Like, hey guys, I want you to come left side. So we always move Sheikh Ayyub on the left side, because there are other people coming inside. If somebody not finding Sheikh, and then when he or that person or she comes to the range of that network, we can listen, here is Sheikh. And the good thing is, if you go to MCDC with Sheikh Yahya, the guided tours, the explanations, or what needs to be done this after that. So that's very clear instructions. I'm pretty sure that I, albeit also have a similar kind of opportunities or facilities. I want to share a nice experience. Sheikh, I think you'll remember. I've lost that black pouch in Muzdalifa. Mm-hmm. So I was not panicking. My wife was making much than me. So instantly when I found, I'm not finding it. It was in Muzdalifa. I was sleeping. I think that's the pouch. Yes. I always used to carry with me, and some loose money, some like a change monies and your dua book and your 10 riyal. That's the one to say. So always you need to wear that one. In dining, they will see, oh, you are with Sheikh. So it's entrance. Then I lost it in Muzdalifa. And what happened? I instantly actually informed Sheikh, saying, I have lost my pouch. What should I do? And Sheikh was, he's always like very soothing. Okay, brother, we will take it. Don't worry. Don't panic. Just try to find it over there. But I couldn't find. So, however, it was managed. I came back to the camp, Majarul Cubs, and I get entered to the camp. Alhamdulillah, next day morning, I don't know, there are millions of people like in Muzdalifa. Somebody found it. And somebody bring it to right to our camp. And the kitchen boy was given to someone else. Do you know this, brother? We found it on the Muzdalifa, which is far away. And I think there was around more than 100 riyal on inside as well. So it just came to me as it is. I found it. So alhamdulillah. My thing is, do not lose it. Do not get panicked. That's very important. In terms of other experiences, look, this is a very, it'll be full on. Like if you go to MCDC 10 days, you are full on. There's no time. Muzdalifa, when you go there, you'll sleep like a baby instantly. You fall on the ground, you are flat. You're dead. So when you wake up, you see it's morning time. So, and I will say, please try to take rest. And what Sheikh said, the hajjolite, that's like a priceless thing over there. You must carry enough with you. And there are a lot of drinks in fridges everywhere, eskies, outside your camp. You took one out, put one tablet in the PET bottles, the cold bottles, and keep it with you. You can take two extra bottles if you find somebody is thirsty. And you can also offer them. You can see your other friends struggling. Somebody actually left behind his hydrolyte. He can help him. One example, in Jamara, I carried three bottles extra with me because I was drinking one. I give some.
there we go. All right. So for the protein bars, these are very generic. They're not like the special expensive one. Don't get anything with chocolate. Trust me. You don't want 50 degree chocolate, right? So get something that's like this. Get, if you want the taste of chocolate, get something like cacao or, you know, whatever. These are really good. As you're walking, you take one, you take two. If you see somebody on the side of the road not well, you give one. It's a great sadaqah. I will always carry extra of these for you as well, inshallah. You want to keep your energy going. You want to keep yourself up and ready. This is your electronic device in Mina. Imagine yourself in a tent. The Mina tents are 200 people per tent. And there's a little private sleeping space. I'll show you some photos now, inshallah. Little private kind of cabinet that you have. You're going to hang your bag above you. That's why it's essential that you have my Hajj survival kit. You're going to put your bag above you, hang it on the railing above you. This becomes your charger for your phone. Don't bring laptops. iPads are unnecessary. A phone, inshallah. Leave your iPads and things in the hotel room if you need them. If you have your dua and notes on them and it's essential, bring it with you. Just bring a good capacity. It is not possible for you to be able to keep asking to charge your stuff. I sleep near the charger because I need to have comms. I use three phones, right? I need to always be up. But you are not as essential. You need to have one or two good high capacity chargers that are good to work in over 40 degree heat. Because when it's hot, this becomes non-functional at times. So you want something that when you read the reviews on Amazon or whatever, that they have a good, or go to JB Hi-Fi and tell them, I need something that can work in above 40 degree heat. Okay? Yes?
Not more than 20,000 milliampere, that's not allowed on the aircraft.
On some aircraft, they don't allow more than 20,000. This is 20,000. So this is also a 65 watt charger. So it allows the phone to charge very quickly. In about 30 minutes, it'll charge a full charge. I get about 3 full charges of my phone for this. 3 full charges, okay? So you need one of these if you are going to be using your phone. As I said for the brothers, and as you heard from our dear brother, he said blisters. The moment you get a cut on your foot, the moment you feel that the plastic is rubbing on your sandal, put one of these on, take some Savlon, put antibacterial, and get this on top of yourself straight away. These are the plugs that are common in Saudi Arabia. It is the British standard. These are also common, but these are the ones that are the most used in Saudi Arabia, the British standard. You will find these in most of the new modern hotels, but this is where you will find it in just about every other place, inshallah. Okay? That's for the plugs. Final thing. How do we keep our ihram in place? More hydrolite. I don't know. This is from last year Hajj. Didn't even use it, right? You want to wrap your towels. And we'll get some of the brothers who want to stay behind to trial it out. There's different ways, of course, to wrap them, right? So if you have a big one like this, you can get away with turning, bringing in, and rolling down. All right? So that's pretty straightforward, right? Got it? So it's there. You then want to have a belt. You can use any belt. You can use a leather belt. You can use whatever you like. I like to use more of a pouchy belt. I can put in this. So it's got two compartments. It's got this for those who rip their ihram and other things. So I always carry that. It's got my hotel cards. It'll have essential kind of things that I want to eat, whether it's a glucose jelly bean or one of my protein packs. And then it'll have my power bank. It'll have my wet wipes. And this is when I'm out, you know, leading with you, going to from Mina to Jamarat or something. It'll have that in case I need it, in case somebody else needs it. And you will have your phone in it. This is secure. This, it's not going to go anywhere, right? I feel comfortable with that. There are other options for you as well. Oh, no, these are the extras. Sorry. Such as a Hajj belt. I brought different options. You can go fancy. You can buy these in Medina. You can buy the little bags that the brother has downstairs where you wear it and it's always in front of you. This can be on the inside of your haram. It's useful. This is more useful for sisters than brothers, I found. Inside your jubbah, and it has everything in it, and then you can just access it from under your scarf. I thought this was good. It's got an anti-theft belt. And I know you will say, why would anybody steal in Mecca? You would be surprised, okay? So sisters and brothers, nothing of jewelry, expensive jewelry. Leave behind your dangly bracelets. Leave behind your rings that can slide off when you make wudu. Leave behind expensive watches. Leave all of that stuff behind. Put it in storage. Put it with somebody you trust over here. Come, inshallah, with functional things, right? Don't come with anything excessive. These are the other belts that you can use. And they can lengthen and shorten. So this actually was a child's extra large belt. This is one of my boys' belts. As you can see, it's a small one. It has a pouch there that you can put a phone, cards, things like that. You can buy these. I think there's some downstairs as well. They're cheaper here than they are in Medina. So I think the brother was selling $15 from what I saw on his Instagram. These in Medina, you can get them for about 25 riyal, which is about $11, right? I would say get it out of the way. Choose one that you feel comfortable with, inshallah. This is an essential. It's not should I or shouldn't I. This is essential for the men. You need to have a belt. You can wear one of these or you can wear one of those, but make sure that you have something, inshallah. Finally, how do you put on the top? And remember I said you wear the thinner. I recommend you wear the thinner one, always cotton. Because you're going to take your right arm out, you want to leave this one open. So you take the left piece and you just under your belt. So imagine I have my belt there. And you just tuck it in, so that secures it. This drapes over. I can also tuck that here as well, or I can leave it as such. Right? When you're sleeping, you can open this. You can't pray without this on. You have to have something that covers your shoulder as a brother. You can walk with it like this. You can put a pin in it, no problem. All of that is acceptable. There's no problems with that, inshallah. Okay? Any questions? Yes?
Is the deodorants or the sunscreens, if they have any alcohol in it?
No problem. So the issues that relate to alcohol, alcohol is a cleansing agent, the ones that are used in that. It won't be something that is of an intoxicating effect. I hold the view that alcohol, wallahu a'lam, and this is the jumhur, the majority view, that alcohol is najis in its capacity to adulterate the mind. So anything that has alcohol that is for consumption, to cause a person to lose their, to be inebriated, that is something, you know, you wouldn't make, you wouldn't touch wine and beer. But something that's an ethanol or something that's a cleansing agent, no problem with that, inshallah. And that's usually what they have for that. With regards to pain, to knee, you know, the, what's it called? Voltaren and heat, and they have that smell. I would say buy the aerosol ice spray. So I always carry that, and our doctors carry that, rather than putting the methanol or that kind of smell. I would say to you, get the, just so that you don't doubt your Hajj later. It's acceptable, but I would say avoid it. But then people come and say, Sheikh, you said, and then my mufti over here, he said something different. So to remove that from your mind, I'll say, we have an alternative, get the freeze spray. That will work out better for you in the long term, inshallah. Yes, my brother.
How do you pray? Say your prayer?
Yes.
In Jumu'ah.
Yeah, because we're going to be there in Jumu'ah. No Jumu'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in 23 years of his life, never prayed Jumu'ah in travel. In fact, most madhab say you should not pray Jumu'ah in travel. But we, because we're in Mecca, we want to pray Jumu'ah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never prayed any Jumu'ah ever while traveling. Some madhab, they say it's makruh. You shouldn't do it. They will say, no, you pray Dhuhr instead. Because that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Arafah was in Jumu'ah. And he didn't pray Jumu'ah, it was just Arafah. So for us, in our day in Mina, those who, we will give the two options, and that's why you notice in the sheet that I gave, it has two options. Those who want to leave and go to Mina, and those who want to stay and go to Arafah direct. We've made that because some people say, no, I'm in Mecca, I want to pray Jumu'ah. Okay, in my group, I'm very liberal. No problem. I'll let you make the choice. There'll be another bus that will take you later on and so on. No problem, inshallah. But I would say, if you don't have that option with your group leader, follow the group leader, inshallah. Normal prayer, so you would pray your normal prayer, Dhuhr and Asr, and you will be led in the camp by the imam. There will always be an imam. And one of the bigger problems in Mina is people get so excited, they want to be the muadhin. And they look at their app and, oh, and then, Allah! And then you hear this person make adhan, this person, and then like 3 minutes later, the adhan actually comes, because our apps are coordinated on the delineation of Australia or America. It's North American or Muslim World League. And then 3 minutes later, Allah, everybody's already doing sunnah. It's like, what are we doing, right? So wait for the camp leaders. Yes, had fadal hajj.
Just about the mask, especially for women.
Yes. So mask for medical reasons, acceptable. No problem with that. I recommend it. You will see me, if I was walking from Mina to Mecca, if I'm going through the tunnels, I will wear a mask. And if you have an allergen or a medical condition that you're worried other people catch it, wear the mask to stop it from spreading to others, not necessarily from catching it from others. So if you are sensitive to dust, wear the mask. If you are spending time in Muzdalifah, wear the mask before you go to sleep, inshallah. Now, yes, my brother. SIM cards. When you arrive in Medina or when you arrive in any of the airports, you will find young men and women trying to sell you SIM cards. It's not something we can do for you because they require your fingerprint and your Hajj visa number. So they will take your, they will ask you if you have your Hajj visa. That's another document to print out. Print your actual Hajj visa, have it with you, and put it as a photo in your phone. They will take your Hajj number, and then they need to corroborate your entry into Saudi Arabia. They will take your, in passport control, they will take your fingerprint. That fingerprint is used everywhere. When you get a phone, we need your fingerprint to make sure that the fingerprint of your visa is the same as you entering into the country.
Someone who's got a problem with the fingerprint is my first question.
Yes.
Second question, hospital trip and ambulance cover?
Yes.
Do you pay out of your pocket money or?
And subhanAllah, last year I had 3 cardiac arrests in my camp. One brother stayed behind for 6 weeks, open heart surgery in Riyadh, was medevaced. As I said, Hajj is, those are all things we deal with. Right, I speak about it casually because these are things I've done many times. So the brother, he had a cardiac arrest. We assessed him. We took him to Mina Hospital 2. From Mina Hospital 2, he was medevaced to Riyadh. Open heart surgery. 6 weeks later, repatriated to the USA. No cost. No cost at all. Because you are part of the guests of that. It's part of your Hajj package. Incidental visits that are non-emergency will have cost. So just say you say, oh, I don't feel well, or I want to get this checked out. And then our doctor within our teams who have license to practice there for that short period of time, they say, look, we think you're okay. Oh, no, I want to go. Okay, you go. They will have open sessions, but if you want to go to the private clinic, it will require a $65 consultation fee. If you need an IV, it's 27 riyal, those kind of things. You can probably recoup it, but I don't know I guess you can email Nusuk. I don't know. That's usually the answer. Brother Harun. Yeah.
The fingerprint.
My father, he was with me in Umrah. His fingerprint, you know, as an elderly person, was not scanning. In passport control, they let him through because all four didn't scan. So when he came and I wanted to make him a phone, he said, look, there's no print in his name. So I can't give him a phone number. What that means is that you would have to go to a branch for them to do it for you rather than getting it done by one of the kiosks. Good question. Yes, Brother Harun.
Sorry, two things. If you got an iPhone 14 Plus,
yes,
onwards, you can actually buy an eSIM,
yes,
to load on your phone, which you can use inside.
Yes. I love that you raised the eSIM. The experiences with eSIMs that I have had in Saudi Arabia with everybody who has traveled with me was always negative. Saudi Arabia, they have a very closed network kind of system. They want to know who is who, and they want to make sure we know this person. Even your WhatsApp, you can't make a call from Saudi Arabia on WhatsApp. You can use Messenger or FaceTime or Twitter or Instagram, but WhatsApp, you can't make a call with it. Second question. Yes. Okay. Our brother, he says, can you wear a knee brace? Just say, I have a pre-existing medical condition, ankle, knee, back. Can I wear a stomach brace? The answer is yes, absolutely. I would get you to feed six people out of precaution. Right? Yes. No mats if you are traveling with most of the Al-Bayt, Al-Burj, like most of our kind of programs, there will be something set up for you. I do recommend you have, as I showed you, a mat. There is downstairs, a brother was selling the Hajj mat. It's kind of collapsible. It's a good idea because it's a straw and, you know, it's collapsible. Even if there is preparation there for you, it won't go to waste. Like I would carry something with me. If you are in the executive A and B packages with me, don't worry about it. We have roast lamb for you waiting in Muzdalifah. Okay, but I don't like saying that. Okay, inshallah.
What if there's impurity on your alarm, on toilet, or whatever?
Yes.
In the state of alarm, can you change it?
So the brother asked a very good question. What if there are impurities on my ihram? I went into the bathroom, it touched it. What do I do? So the cleansing of any impurity is the same whether it's ihram or not, right? You would wash it until the effect of the three things. So how do we recognize something as an impurity? It's something that is classified as impure, not necessarily dirty. So dust is dirty, but it's not impure. So if something is najis, then we have to remove its color, its texture, and its scent. Or two out of those to the best of our ability. Sometimes there'll always be a little trace or something. There's no scent, there's no texture, there's no feel to it. It's fine, no problem, that's washable. Can be just with water, or you can add something to make friction to remove it if you don't have a cleansing agent with you. Always carry that extra ihram. Yes? Yes.
For men, right?
Men or women. Or women. I would say, I would, out of precaution, say, pay the six expiation, inshallah.
With a toothpaste, you have mint flavors?
No problem. I know I read those on the groups and people were giving fatwas about toothpaste and so. Don't worry about toothpaste. It's not a perfume.
And the power of Wida. How do you plan your journey to the airport and... So
all of that will be taken care of. Always, Jeddah Airport is a 6-hour arrival. You will always be there 6 hours 6 hour before departure. 2 hours to get there and check in opens the 4th hour before as you arrive. Yes, Yahi. Sorry. Yes. It doesn't need to be certified, but just make it look official, like print it out in the green color. Because they know, because the, what they have is, they have, they'll ask you as you're just getting off the plane, where are you from? You'll say Australia. If it's very busy and they see an Australian passport, or they'll say, okay, just go. Because they know in Australia, we, our healthcare standards are pretty good. But sometimes if it's not busy, because we're coming in the final days, it's not normally going to be busy in Medina. They're going to say, show me your, they can ask, maybe they won't, show me your immunization record. And what they do is on their screen, they have a copy of what Australia looks like, and it looks green, like the, you know, the PDF. So he's just color matching. He's like, what is this? I said, I go look like, read it. He goes, no, I want this one. I was like, oh. So then I showed him on my PDF that this is this, but it's just not a color. So save yourself the hassle. Yes? Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ was very non-specific about foot attire. The Prophet ﷺ simply said, don't wear shoes, wear na'l. Na'l means a slipper. Whatever the slipper looks like is good enough. Yani, you can wear Crocs, you can wear these ones, but you're going to find some people who in their mind, they have a particular viewpoint that it can't cover this part or this part. Although there's nothing really said by the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet never looked at anyone's foot and said, this part, why is it not covered? That's not the way of the Rasul ﷺ. That's over-ritualization. So in general, you are not wearing your normal day-to-day shoes. You are wearing something that is referred to as a slipper, na'l. And the Prophet said, if you don't have a na'l, then just show your ankles. Meaning, because back then all shoes covered the ankles. They, like, you know how you wear a top cover? It covered the ankles. So the Prophet ﷺ said, just show your ankles, show that it's like a na'l. So it's like you press the bottom of your shoe kind of thing. So you will find people wearing the Tevas. You will find people wearing like these. I wear these just so that nobody bothers me. What are you doing? Why? Don't you know? Don't you? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Right? So if you don't want people to raise that kind of thing, some people are argumentative, just wear what's comfortable, inshallah. No problem with taking the ihram off, no problem with having a shower, no problem with all of that function. And that's why you really want the hook, to hook your ihram on the door so that you're comfortable. I do a brothers only session on how to go to the toilet in Medina. I don't, it's not for video though. Yes. Yes. Or you can go with your ihram on, no problem. If you want to beat the rush, no problem. Your group leader might say, hey, it's not busy there yet, let's go. Let's get it done. And everybody's energetic. Okay, bismillah, no problem. You don't, no. You only have ihram on when you're doing your initial arrival. Tawaf and Umrah. That's it. Now, well, yeah. Yes, and then I'll come.
Can we wear orthotic sandals during the Tawaf and the Sa'i?
Yes. So if the orthotic sandals are something that give you the support and they are not shoes, no problem. If you like, let me see. Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'll be wearing similar. No problem. Yep. Yes, my brother. Sure. Yes. I normally don't say bring a Quran or a dua book. I let people kind of make choice of what they want to bring. If you're in my groups, you will have already received how to construct a dua. I'll send it out on the normal groups again. There's one in Urdu, one in somebody translated in Urdu and Malay. I normally want people to be connected to Allah in what they're asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I didn't go into detail in how you make tawaf. I know there's people who've joined me for Umrah. Tawaf is not necessarily about making dua to Allah. It's about letting Allah know you're here for Him and worshipping Him. And then in second on Safa and Marwa and Arafah, that is where you pour your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Second one, with the salat, do we read all as a musafir salah, or is it like specific?
So I will leave that to your group leader. There are, you know, so you'll see that I've itemized, for example, in Mina, the Prophet ﷺ shortened the prayers, but he prayed them in their times. Then in Arafah, the Prophet shortened the prayers and combined. So I'll let just follow the leader.
Okay, but when we leave, do we make niyyah for musafir salah for a certain amount of time, or do we make it?
So when you arrive, you mean in Medina?
No, when we're leaving from here.
Yes.
So we're gonna go from here to Medina first.
Yes.
Mecca. So Medina is a short time. You could cover the musafir salah.
Yes.
But Mecca, so the whole trip would be then.
So you're making more than one trip. You're going to make a trip from Medina to Mecca and Mecca to Arafah. All of them are different. I'll come back to you. Follow the leader. See what the guide says.
The last one,
sure. Yes, inshallah. I will ask our sisters, inshallah, who want to meet with our sister in the back. Can you?
Sumaya.
Sister Sumaya will... she's just here, mashallah, Dr. Zulqarnain's spouse. She'll just have a few words about some of the menstrual issues, and I'll put some detailed things on my groups, inshallah, on the DS forums and things like that, inshallah. I'm also always very happy to take questions. Same with Dr. Haifa and others. They'll introduce themselves to you, inshallah. Inshallah. Any other questions? Good.
Can you do shopping after tawaf?
Yes, you can do limited. Certainly, you want to get your shopping done before tawaf al-wada. You want your final moments in Hajj to be tawaf.
Do you, because you're going from Pakistan?
Yes.
From Pakistan, do you advise to get insurance like for medical?
Yes.
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 The road is locked and there are many people.
Oh, okay. Let me come and help you with that, inshallah. Allahi barak fikum. I would recommend that, inshallah. Inshallah. All right. Yes.
Day before,
it depends when you say how much is the day. So in the evening, no problem. So it's not really about the time of hours. As long as your mind is, I'm leaving, tawaf al-wada kind of sets in. You will feel it. You will know, oh, let me do my final tawaf. And then, yeah, you might buy a coffee, you might have breakfast, you might get ready and bring your bags. No problem with all that. But certainly it wouldn't be like 24 hours ahead. No. Yeah. Inshallah. Yes?
With the tawaf al-wada,
yes.
Do also the sa'i?
Yes. Tawaf al-wada has no sa'i. No, you would have already done your sa'i. Inshallah. And that stuff, follow the leader with that, inshallah. All right, jazakumullah khair for your time. I'm sorry for taking a little bit longer, but I think it was beneficial and worthwhile. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Feel free to take photos of whatever you need, inshallah. Allahi barik feekum. Yes. Yes. Sorry, I'll just...